So in a recent article from space.com, which is semi-scientific, it's not a tabloid-ish kind of website, but it's has kind of basis in space facts, things, astronomical things. They quote, or I quote them, "The universe we live in may not be the only one out there. In fact, our universe could just be one of an infinite number of universes making up a multiverse. Though the concept may stretch credulity, there's good physics behind it. And there's not just one way to get to a multiverse. Numerous physics theories independently point to such a conclusion. In fact, some experts think the existence of hidden universes is more likely than not." Speaking about those experts, Michio Kaku, a professor of theoretical physics and someone you might recognize if you've seen TV interviews about string theory or just kind of really high scientific astronomy talks, you'd recognize this gentleman if you've seen him online or on the TV. He quotes, or I quote him, I should say, "We believe, though we cannot yet prove, that our multiverse of universes is 11-dimensional. And that's just a small, I listened to a video of him talking about these multiverses and trying to explain it. Now, it's been explained to me quite well through the Marvel universe. That's fiction. And amazingly, this ties directly in. It's as though they've pulled much of their script out of comics and not out of science. And while there are these theories, these really far-reaching theories out there that are pushing the bounds of scientific thought and scientific reasoning, there are still many in the scientific community that disagree with these assumptions. There are many arguments against why this kind of theory is, for people that are non-godly believers, people who are strictly scientists, how they disagree with this, because it isn't based upon science per their definition. It's based upon theories and ideas that cannot find physical examples to prove. But, as we know, mankind gravitates always towards boundless speculation. When we read about this attitude early within the Bible, in Genesis 11, beginning of verse 1, let's turn back to there. While these theories seem new and fresh, this concept and this idea of mankind is not. Genesis 11, and beginning of verse 1. "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they ceased building the city." You know, what these people were doing in Babel was in direct opposition to God's commands. And we get an inkling of what his commands were when he spread them far and wide from each other. And it wasn't opposition because they were building or they were trying to reach the heavens. You know, God, I would guess, nor the Babylonians thought they could actually reach heaven. They built that tower, and why it was in direct opposition of God, as we read in the scripture, to make a name for themselves. You know, this attitude was in opposition to what God commanded mankind, beginning with Adam and Eve, turning back to chapter 1 in Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." And here is the crux of why Babylon was against godliness. "Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God wanted mankind to go out, to be fruitful, to multiply over the face of the earth. And later to Noah, he said a very similar thing, Genesis 9 and beginning of verse 7. Genesis 9, verse 7. "And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it." Be fruitful. Populate this earth. The people in Babel wanted to do the very opposite. They wanted to stop, to not fulfill God's purpose for mankind spreading out. They wanted to stop and build temples and through their arrogance, build things to themselves and not to show their following after God's commands. You know, the root problem, then, of Babel was their pride, was their arrogance. As I said, they were not willing to fulfill God's command and replenish the earth. And they became absorbed or self-absorbed and only saw it inwardly, losing the knowledge of God. So where did this all start? Where did we can go back even further than Adam and Eve. We can go back to the deceiver himself. Ezekiel 28, beginning of verse 16. Ezekiel 28, beginning in verse 16. "By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, you corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you." Satan's ideals, Satan's pride, are what led him to do what he did, led, and his influence on mankind is what leads the Babylonians and what leads our current world away from God. You know, arrogance was also the root of Satan's attack on heaven, and he was so filled with his own pride, he was so blinded to the fact that God could not be usurped. It's ludicrous to think that he could have kicked God out of heaven, and yet, because of his pride, because of his arrogance, that became a thought in his mind that grew and that he thought was true. In the same way the Babylonians thought they could make monuments to themselves, in the same way that our scientific community in the world thinks up absurdities to do away with the very simplicity of God. You know, mankind, in the time of them building a tower, and today as our best scientific minds search for answers, both show a lack of a willingness to fulfill God's will. You know, it's impossible for us, brethren, as humans, to know all there is to know about this world, to understand exactly what transcends from the physical to the spiritual, what holds all that we see and all that we can look about in the heavens together, because we are not yet spirit. We don't have that understanding. It is not necessary for us to have that understanding until we do become spirit. But, you know, that is not understanding all of these things, coming up with these weird ideas about multiverses. It's also not part of our Christian mandate. Nor the mandate of anybody that had followed after God throughout the history of humans. God's servants are required to seek after knowledge through faith in God. It's as simple as that. You know, Abraham was a great example of the attitude we must strive for. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And that's the key. He went out on faith. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Abraham also demonstrated that when he was required to sacrifice his son. He went out not knowing what would happen, knowing what he was required to do, but not knowing the end of that in the same way. And that's why he was considered a friend of God. You know, Paul also spoke to the church of this same attitude in Colossians 1, in verse 10. Colossians 1 and verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That is our mandate, brother. Not increasing in things that we cannot possibly understand. There is no way to prove a multiverse. But we can prove that God exists through His interaction with each and every one of us. You know, mankind believes that they are surpassing these antiquated beliefs of God through scientific reasoning. And yet, with all of that, they're doing just the opposite. By rejecting God, they are becoming stagnant, lost in the very cosmos they seek to understand. Well, brethren, we must not fall into that trap. Knowledge that truly matters is obtained through faith in God. So, brethren, let that be our foremost desire.